This is KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Border War Podcast here on the Kansas City Sports Network. We are presented, as always, by 360 Vodka. My name is Jared Sutton. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Jeff Hawkins. And Jeff, welcome back. We got a lot to catch up on with Kansas. A lot of good games that have been played since we last talked on our last pod. And turn of the page too, Mizzou right around the corner with Mizzou, Kansas, and the Border War.
Yeah, big Border War coming up. College basketball is starting to get in the swing of things. Conference plays around the corner. Not only just that, it's just everything with college basketball is going live right now. And it's just, again, we talk about it all the time. There's no better time right now than now. And it's only going to get better. We're not even close to March Madness, but still basketball's here. Excited. I love getting home, flipping through channels, seeing who's playing. It's just that time of year for everybody. It's just so much going on right now.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And in-season tournament NBA tonight, too, just throwing that out there. So there's a lot of hoop stuff going on.
I was going to stay on the college, but there you go.
I had to throw some love there to the in-season tournament.
A little Monday night football, too, before,
But. Yeah. And with the NFL and the college football bowl games, man, it's just so much going on right now. Yeah. But it's a lot of fun. And it's been fun for Kansas, too, because they've had so many good, competitive, non-con games. And I want to start with the Maui Classic. That was in Honolulu. Kansas wins two games there. I know they had a tough loss to Marquette. That was a really competitive battle. Obviously, there were a lot of things going on, dead ball situations and coaches getting involved. But all in all, your thoughts on just the trip for Kansas? It's always a good test, I think, especially when you're playing against teams that are going to be right there in the NCAA tournament competing in March, and you get a chance to lace them up in November, a non-conference. It's a great way to figure out and you're dealing with travel. I think that's always gets lost, is like it's a serious trip, obviously over to Hawaii, the rest, the recovery. I think that was a hot topic for me, of just the turnaround time these teams had. Not a lot. And I'm sure coaches probably didn't enjoy that a ton, just from a rest and preparation standpoint. But your overall thoughts on just how Kansas fared in Maui?
Yeah, first off, they're in Maui, man. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Well, the tournament was at Honolulu, but they got to see Honolulu a little bit more than what they normally do, because they're normally in Maui. So for some guys, any of those fifth year guys, definitely could have been a good experience for them, because they got to see it twice. But you're in Hawaii. Come on. I mean,
can't beat that over the holiday season. You know, or the Thanksgiving holiday.
Yeah. But I think for KU, for them being able to go 2-3, and I think a lot with, the Bill Self Harris, when they take that losses, how do they respond? Coming off that loss against Marquette, and, coaches, I thought they were going to have to put some boxing gloves on. And but coming off of that loss, Marquette just heated. I mean, they just got heated up the whole time. It was that oven was on full hot the whole game. They heated them up the whole game, and just kind of got Kansas out of their rhythm right from the get-go. And then they bounce back. They have that tennis. They play Tennessee the next game, and you're wondering, how are they going to respond just after getting a good beating from Marquette, and now have to come play another top 10 team back-to-back. And then they responded. So being able to fight late down the stretch and close it out, I think that helped them with their season as far as moving forward. So I think at the end of the day, they'll look at that Maui trip as a positive, and they'll take what Marquette exposed from their weaknesses. They'll take that. They had a chance to take that and redeem themselves against Tennessee. So I think at the end of the day, they walked away happy from that, even though they did go 2-3.
Yeah, and they come back after that, and good response against Tennessee. Obviously, Hunter was very good, and he had 20 rebounds in that game, and really, really was an impact. So it's a good win, and then you come home, and you faced Eastern Illinois, and they gave Kansas a good little run. I think that was not a letdown game by any means in terms of looking ahead. I guess Eastern Illinois played really well.
And it, I was impressed with just how they kept, you know, Kansas at bay as best she can in that environment and in that building, and we're competitive, but Kansas able to get a good win and turn the page to UConn, which what an atmosphere that was on Friday. We're recording this on Monday, but what an atmosphere that was on Friday against UConn. Jason Sudeikis was in the house. Sue Bird was in the house. A lot of former players. I think yourself, were you in the building as well?
I snuck in the back door, man. I was being knocking on the door, let see if somebody could sneak me in the back door.
Yeah, I was just flash the alumni card, just kind of get right in the. I love it. But I mean, it was rocking. I mean, as you know, like Allen Fieldhouse, it's the loudest I've ever heard Allen Fieldhouse. I'm always like, I think Allen Fieldhouse is always just crazy loud. So it's hard to decipher, but the atmosphere, the energy, it was great. It was a great environment for college basketball in November.
It was. And, you know, that Eastern Illinois game, I think, you know, more could have been a little bit of worry is, you know, they were up 15 early and, you know, it was just such a tight game when they had what, quote unquote, Coach Self would say, their foot on their throat. And they just let it off. And Eastern Illinois got confidence. As each possession came, as the score got a little bit closer, and it became a game down the stretch. So I think there is a little bit of like, oh, okay, how are we going to come into this UConn game coming off of that traction with Eastern Illinois, which was still a good team, but they had their foot on their throat. They let it off, and they made a run. So it was just kind of had everybody on edge saying, how are the Jayhawks going to respond coming in with UConn, top number four team in the nation coming to the Jayhawks, Jayhawk land. So, but I think they responded well. It was a back and forth game. It was loud. You know, for me, I've heard the stories. I did not go to the last game at Missouri. Well, now the Tigers are playing, but the last game before they left out of the conference, I did not go to that game. I wish I did. I wish I did to this day, because from all I know, Jayhawks, former Jayhawks coaches have said it. Fans, anybody that I know, they said that was the loudest it's ever been in the field house. And at the UConn game, I thought it was loud too. I thought it was crazy. But they're comparing it the two. So, I mean, I don't know. If that was as loud, I just maybe feel like I've heard it about the same or just as loud. But it was a great environment, and it was a back-and-forth game. Jayhawks looked like they had it. Then, you know, no matter what, you know, they were holding UConn to the edge of the possessions, and UConn had come out and hit a three right at the edge of possession. And that happened a couple times. And late in the game, they took the lead, and, you know, then the Jayhawks fought back. I think due to the big success of Kevin McCullough, he really, really chipped in some big time threes late down the stretch, which I really think put the Jayhawks over the hump, because UConn was not backing down and they were coming shot after shot, no matter what the Jayhawks were throwing at him. And for McCullough to kind of hit those late shots down the stretch, I think that really helped. And the big free throws from Adams as well, too, helped out.
Jeff, I just gotta say, I was on that floor, 2012
in Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah, what you think?
And I thought,
is it different for playing though? Is it different because on the court and outside?
The court shook for sure. Okay, like the court definitely shook. Where the floor, like the floor, you could feel it in through the floor.
Yeah.
And I mean, having played in Allen Fieldhouse all 4 years. Like the first 3 years it was always loud. And like timeouts, you can barely hear things. But I just remember specifically in that specific game where I thought my eardrums were going to like pop. Like, I mean, it was just like, it was so deafening. You couldn't talk to anybody. It was that loud. And it was just a consistent loud of just like, it was different. And I've been in a lot of loud environments, and like, you know, you go to Arrowhead for a Chiefs game, it's really loud and like deafening. Nothing like that. Like Allen Fieldhouse that last year in 2012 with the Mizzou game, the overtime game. It's the loudest environment I've ever been in, without a doubt. I don't think anything touches it. But It was loud. I mean, no doubt. It was very loud in the.
Was your tone there? What's your comparison to it? That's what I'm asking everybody now.
I think beginning of the game, like I always tell people, like it, when Kansas like does their pregame, and I think they have the best like the introductory video to the starting lineup. Nothing touches it. I not just in college basketball, but it gets everybody going, and the video is fantastic. And then all of a sudden, it just keeps building and building and building and building all the way up to tip. And you're used to that. And that's how it was in the UConn game. And it was deafening. It was super loud. I would say different parts of the game, it got back to that level.
Okay. All right.
The Mizzou game, though, all right, man.
Got back to that level.
It got back to that level.
That means it dropped a little. So okay.
But the Mizzou game, it was just like, first half when you know we had a big lead, like it was quiet. But then that second half, it was like, wow. I mean, it was like shot out of a cannon, loud, and I don't think anything touches it. But I'm probably a little biased, just having played in that game. But it was loud. It was very loud, and it definitely created a. I think UConn didn't really understand what it's like to play in outfield. Those guys when they stepped on the floor. And they were trying to talk to each other, and you realize really quickly, like, oh, nobody can hear me, and they were trying to hug. It's an adjustment if you've never been in it before as a player. So, but a heck of an environment. So we'll take a break. We'll be right back here on the Kansas City Sports Network.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Make sure you download our new app. Find it on the App Store or Google Play. Just search KC Sports Network.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch down to the sole. Personally, I can't wait to get a new pair of Giannis Freak 5s. Whatever you're adding to your lineup next, head to eBay. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Just look for that blue check mark. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Border War Podcast here on the Kansas City Sports Network. We are presented by 360 Vodka. And Jeff, I did want to touch on just a couple things that jump out from the UConn game. You know Kevin McCullough, who has been just fantastic. He's playing at a real high level, but the shooting has always been the question mark with him. He impacts the game as a defender, versatility, finisher, competitive, tough, motor, IQ, like all these boxes he checks. And the shooting has always been like, man, if he could just become a reliable knockdown shooter. And he hits three threes that were huge threes. One jumps out in that corner where he had a contest coming right at him, and he got it off. And I mean, it was a tough shot in the corner, but and then he hit one in the left corner a few possessions later. Do you see this like a different? I mean, I think his shot definitely looks just more. It looks quicker to me. It looks like he's not thinking as much, and obviously the confidence level is high. And I that's a big piece. When he shoots it, it looks like he's very confident. He hit a three at the top of the key in the second half, where you can see his emotion after. Like he looks like he's shooting the ball and knows he's going to make a shot when he shoots the ball. It just looks like a different confidence from
him. He does, and I think one of the biggest things that you know he is doing is that he's shooting in rhythm. You know, no hesitation, no pause. I mean, he's and again that one in the corner got a guy running at him. That's when you know you're shooting it in rhythm. It doesn't matter if he's right there. You're catching, shooting the same motion, no hesitation, no pause. Just catching and shooting. And if you look, you know, look at him in those threes, you know, from both of the corners, top of the key, he was shooting in rhythm. When that ball came, he was down and ready. He had his shooter, his shooter hand cocked and ready. He was ready to shoot that thing before the ball even came to him. And I think that's what makes shooters great shooters, because they're already ready to shoot as if the ball's already in their hand with their hand cocked before the ball's actually hit their hand. So, you know, he was down shooter ready, shooting in motion. And I think for Kevin to be able to make shots, be able to hit that open shot, that's going to be big. That opens up DeJuan's game. That opens up Hunter. It opens up Hunter's game. It just frees up everybody else when you have a guy that can hit that outside shot, because guys have to pay attention to that.
Yeah. I think another big part of the game, I mean, UConn shot 28 threes, and it felt like that was somewhat of their best offense.
Yeah.
And a lot of that was Tristan Newton.
Yeah.
You know, he was so good, but it was also Kansas' defense, I thought, was really good. And on the flip side of that, like, Kansas only shot 14, but they were 9 of 14 from three, and their threes were timely. I mean, Hunter Dickinson, you know, hitting threes. I thought Hunter, his shooting, I mean, I'm happy for him, because I feel like in this system with Coach Self, he just has the freedom to do more. Yeah. And he can shoot it. And I feel like we knew that when he was in Michigan that he could shoot. Yeah. He just didn't really do it a lot.
Yeah.
And he can shoot. He's an efficient 6 of 12. I was really curious how the Donovan Clingan matchup was going to go with Hunter. I felt like both those guys, at one point in the second half, they were rim. Both of them were rim running and then hitting each other.
No, yes. Like I feel like we know. I feel like I know the same play you're talking about.
I mean, it was like, dang. And the fish. I give the officials credit. They let them play, because I was like, they're going to blow a whistle. And it would just felt like they were hitting each other like constant. Yes. And there were a few fouls called, and I think Hunter didn't like one where I think he might have got a deflection. But in terms of just the physicality of it between Hunter and Donovan got Hunter once. I know Hunter wanted to, I think he was a cut, and Hunter tried to dunk on Donovan, and Donovan wasn't having it. I mean, the back and forth between these guys was on display. Everybody was looking forward to that matchup. But I think Hunter, you know, the older, experienced, he stepped out. He knew Donovan couldn't really guard him on the perimeter, and he took advantage of his jump shot and was really effective from three. And just the efficiency Kansas had on offense to score 69, to come back how they did, because they did go a little stagnant too. UConn made some big shots. Give them credit. Like, they hit some shots that were like, dang, like, good defense, contested, guys shooting behind a ball screen from deep. And sometimes you live with that stuff. And Kansas just had a response. And we talk about this all the time, Jeff, with Coach Self teams. They close games. They find ways to win late. They get stops. They execute on offense. They take good shots. More times than not, their best players get good looks. And Coach Self is the mastermind behind that.
Yeah. And, I mean, you mentioned it. This late down the stretch is, I think that's where they've been good at. That's where they've been at over the time. And I, you know, look back at my time from playing under the Coach Self era. You know, that's just what it was. That late game, just never giving up. They always find a way. They're always poised. The coaching staff never worries. And, you know, the coaches just trust. I mean, the players trust in the coaches. So having Coach Self, I think, on your side and, you know, UConn made it tough. They made it tough for Kansas. They took the lead late, and it was like, okay, how are they going to respond? And just you just know late in those late game situations, in those crunch time situations, it's an advantage when you have Coach Self, because he keeps those guys poised. He keeps those guys always thinking next play, and always keeps them ready. But, you know, you talk about the production of Hunter Dickinson. I mean, gosh, just for him being able to stretch the D, I think low-key, and I say low-key, like low-key, he's the best shooter on the team. When, for block five to three.
It's true. It's true. He shoots it like it's going in.
Like, he's not trying. He's not going out, you know, trying to hit, you know, I don't think he has it set in his mind, I'm going to shoot four threes, I'm trying to make. He takes what the defense gives him, but I think low-key, he has no pressure to, you know, go out and just, you know, perform to be a shooter. He didn't come in to be a shooter. He's a big guy. But I think, you know, him being able to stretch that D from three, it just changes the game. And I think another guy that showed up, I think it was Furphy, Johnny. It was late in the game. I can't remember exactly possession when it was. I was trying to look at the play-by-play. But he had an opportunity. He went 2 for 3 from three. He had an opportunity, I think it was in that second half. It was one of those corner threes, and he missed it right by the bench. He was wide open, missed it. And I think one of the things that I wanted to see, because normally with those freshmen, is like either they miss that wide open three, they're not going to take that next one, they're going to hesitate, it's going to be rushed. Well, he had another opportunity in that opposite corner, and he took it with no hesitation and hit that. And I thought for the Jayhawks at the time, that was a really big play, especially for Furphy. We know what McCullough did down the stretch for him, but I thought that was just huge. I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and look if that gave them the lead or crunched the lead down. I'm not sure if we were down. I'd have to go back and do my fact check. I'm sorry. I was trying to find that. But I think that was really big for Furphy, being able to hit that three after missing it. And I think with the Jags, it's always, what do they do when things don't go their way?
I was just about to say, too, Jeff, when I was looking at the box, like, it was such a high-level basketball game, because when you look at points off turnovers, points in the paint, fast break points, bench points, it was pretty balanced across the board. Even the efficiency for Kansas shooting the three was great, because they took threes, but they didn't take a lot of them, and they made the ones that they took, and they got... I think the biggest thing, too, I think UConn's went home thinking they were pretty bad at the free throw line, and Kansas made free throws. And, you know, that was a big part, too, in the game, with Kansas having a discrepancy of, I think it was like 7 points at the free throw line. If you're on the road and you got a chance to pull an upset, and you got to make free throws. Like, this is the name of the game. So, the last question I got for you, and I know we've talked about this in the past, and I think it's very similar to just this Kansas team. Because Hunter's going to be an All-American player. DeJuan Harris, we know him. He's going to be an All-American level point guard. Kevin McCullough, one of the best players in the conference in the Big 12, and going to be probably up there talking an All-American level as well. All three of them are high-level winners. They've won at every stop. My question for you is just the minutes that they take. The usage is high, right, for these starters. And, I mean, KJ Adams, we do need to say, was fantastic in the UConn game, and obviously playing with a heavy heart, and his emotion, his energy, his fire, like, he was everywhere. He was huge in this game, making, you know, got to the free throw line. I know he's not a great free throw shooter. He went 6 of 9. That's a pretty good day at the line, you know, but 18 and 7, that's a heck of a night for KJ as a four. But the question remains is, like, Johnny hit some threes. That was their bench production. You know, I just, with these five guys, I mean, and give them credit, the endurance, like the energy to play that long. And they're, you know, Marco's a freshman playing 32 minutes. And like we saw last year with Grady, you know, he's not going to be allowed to be a freshman. He's got to play. And they can do this, you know, we've seen them do this, but that bench is, it's not a deep bench. And you can tell Coach Self in the UConn game. And I appreciate that about Coach Self. He's not just going to go to his bench to go to his bench.
Yeah,
he's going to play the guys that he thinks have give him a chance to win, and that might be these five guys playing 35 minutes a night.
Yeah, that's tough. You know, you want some guys to step up. You want Timberlake to get in there and fight for some of those minutes every day. And just right now, you just think these guys, I mean, that's 38, 36. And, you know, I think Furphy came off the bench with 14 minutes and Parker Brown and he played 2 minutes and Timberlake 2 minutes. So the thing that you want to get bench production, because you just never know what's going to happen in a game. Like those numbers are cool after a game when, you know, there was no foul trouble. They were, you know, you were able to, when you look at the stats, okay, he played this many minutes. He played 38, 36 minutes. But when you start, you know, every game's not going to be like that. There are going to be some games where, you know, it's going to be, the refs might be calling a little tight. Someone's going to get in foul trouble. You know, someone might have blood on their jersey, have to go out for a little bit. I mean, you just never know when you're going to have to rely on that bench. And I think they're going to have to get the production of that bench up, because you just never know what can happen. But I think, again, until then, he's going to say, well, bench, if you want to get your production up, you're going to have to do it in practice, because you're not going to get any game reps. And I think these guys are just going to have to step up, and it starts in practice. That's where you start proving it to your coaches in practice. They can tell if you're going through the motions or if you're taking it to a next level each and every day. If you're being a better person, or if you're being a better player, giving more effort than you did the day before, they can tell that. So you would hope to see some of these guys, whether it's, you know, I got to stay in, I got to shoot, I got to get some extra ball handling, I got to work on my pick and roll, I got to get some extra shots up, whatever it is, these coaches are going to recognize and they're going to see that. And the bench is going to have to step up in the future, because you just can't rely, to me, on a 6-man rotation. That's tough. But I guarantee you, if guys stay healthy, guys stay out of foul trouble, Coach Self will ride with a 6-man rotation all the way to the end of the season.
No question. Kansas has another tune-up with UMKC at home. That'll be tomorrow night in Allen Fieldhouse. And then we'll have the Hy-Vee Hoops Border Showdown in Lawrence, Kansas, this coming Saturday. It's a 4:15 tip, so it's a good time for a college basketball tip at 4:15 in Allen Fieldhouse, Mizzou in Kansas. So we'll break it all down after the game and have some post-game recap. Jeff, always good chatting with you, man. Some fun games ahead to look forward to.
I like it. Rock chat. Right,
thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all 6 of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.